We continue the Shir Sichai Saran, Seif Kuf Samach Gimel, paragraph 163. This paragraph, we pause for a moment to deviate a little from the regular. I've never done this before. I tried to avoid injecting anything personal into these shiurim. For this case, I feel that I must. This one very short paragraph in Sichai Saran, this one is what altered my life, changed it, and made it. Strange to say that one little paragraph can do it, but this definitely did. My entire life was changed because of this one paragraph. This happened at the approximate age of 16. Until that time, as most of you well know, my father, Lashon, was naturally born a Breslover, the great-grandson of Rav Aaron Zalmi Breslov, Abarazal, who was one of the two witnesses appointed by Rabbeinazal, the statement that the Tikkun HaKloli, when said that Rabbeinazal Sinan would guarantee a person being saved by Rabbeinazal, Abarazal, who was regarded in the highest esteem by Rabbeinazal. So, of course, being born a Breslova, my father Shalom worked very hard throughout his lifetime, going to Uman for many, many years, at great sacrifice, at great risk to his life, at a time when many people died in that attempt. He succeeded for a couple of decades. And coming to America, here too, he brought the spirit of life, the name of Breslov, sprang to life because of his deeds. I recall as a child when every Shabbos he would say a shir on the Kutni Maran. He would try to impress upon me the fact that it is important being a Breslov. It's difficult to inject emunah into a person, one of the most difficult items possible, because a person has freedom of belief. He believes or he does not believe according to his own whim. So it is, of course, easier when you're brought up in a home, a Breslov home, and you're brought up to a degree religious. You go to yeshiva, learn. At that time, of course, the type of learning then was different than today. I would safely say that an elementary student then knew more Gemara than a regular high school student today in the yeshiva. But the interest in the learning about Breslov did not reach a peak of feeling. It was a matter of mitzvahs anoshim ulamoda, sort of lip service. I was accustomed to learn it every Shabbos, look into this forum once in a while during the week, because after all, being occupied in the yeshiva from morning until night, learning Gemara, that was sufficient time spent on the study of Torah. As time went by, going to Masifta Torah Vadas at that time, which was the greatest yeshiva in, probably in the world, or before World War II, at least in America, and the learning was at the high peak. There was no time for play whatsoever. So the time for concentration on anything but the studies in the yeshiva was practically nil. However, learning in the yeshiva did give a sense of religion. It did sharpen the religion to a point where you lived it, not just obeyed it. So it got to a point where I felt that I wanted something more, to advance a little higher, a little more religion, a little more abstinence from pleasures. And one day, this happened one day suddenly, when I sat down to meditate about this, I reminded myself of the fact that, after all, I'm quoting from a sefer, very strange type of sefer. This sefer was cut short very shortly after it was written. The sefer was called My Own Diary, written at that time. Quoting from that diary, recall that I sat down that day and began to think. The fact that, after all, I was the son of one of the leading Breslovers in the world, and there must be something to it. Why not look into it a little more? More than I had studied before. In other words, delve into it deeper recognition. And so I selected, that night I selected, it was late in the evening, I selected the Sefer Hishtapchus HaNefesh, which deals with the topic of Hizbedidus. It's a selection of statements about Hizbedidus, davening to Hashem privately, and it compiles most of these statements from different Sforim, different Breslov Sforim. However, the Hakdama, the preface to that sefer, is called the Snagus Aben Ezal's custom in this item of his Hesbedidus, and how Aben Ezal became great through his Hesbedidus. I began to read that very slowly, very carefully, and when I got to this paragraph, the one we're about to state, a very brief paragraph, something happened suddenly. Difficult to describe. Again, I quote, not verbatim, but what I recall in that diary, that suddenly I felt that somehow the gates of heaven were opened. I began to see a tremendous light, an ethereal, a heavenly light. I realized first a little how great Aben Ezal was, much greater than I ever thought before. Secondly, how important and how valuable, how priceless was the element of tshuva and his Hesbedidus. And also, how important it is to be zeche, to be a breslover, a follower of Aben Ezal. At that moment, I decided to pursue this as much as possible, to abstain primarily from any type of worldly pleasures, taivus, that is, of course, pleasures that are osur, should not be indulged in, and to try to devote myself entirely to this type of avodas Hashem, as promoted by the sefer. It didn't last too long, of course, because that's what's called the isaruso deli elo. When a person wants to become good, he wants to do tshuva, he wants to become more religious, he wants to really serve Hashem, the person first decides that with sincerity, there is always a light sent down from heaven to help push that person along. That's called a person's haschalah b'chassidus. A person's beginning in his life as a chassid, there is a strong assistance, aid from heaven. Then, as Aben Ezal described, it's like a small child when he's trained to walk. The parents or parent holds a child by the hand. The child finds that it's simple to walk. But to train him well, after a while, they leave the child alone. He's got to walk on his own. He falls, he gets up. He finds it much more difficult than before. So the Isarusa de Lielo, when there is assistance from heaven, the smallest person who can go leaps and bounds, rise to an extremely great height. That every person probably experiences. Now, one more item about this small paragraph. I felt that this paragraph had actually changed my life, because from that time on, at least if I wasn't a good Talmud, a good Breslov Chassid, I had at least the feeling that I wanted to be one. I recognized the importance and the greatness of it. So I felt that in all fairness, I should share this with others. Why keep it to myself when it is so great a treasure? Then I was very much surprised. I was taken aback. I had a chavrusa in my class, a boy that I studied with together, Gemara. He was the son of one of the Rashi Yeshivas in Terev Hadas. And one afternoon at lunchtime, I told him to come with me privately to a vacant room, sit down there, and I would read a passage to him. I read this paragraph to him with tremendous feeling, and I watched his face closely to see if suddenly his eyes would light up. He began to float in the air on a cloud. Somehow, there was no reaction. I was shocked. Why didn't it work with him? I found afterwards that the answer is that in itself, this is a zechiya which cannot be explained. Why some people are aroused to tshuva, to kedusha, when they learn something and others are not. Mussazel explains it in a different form. Mussazel says that the reason there are so many thousands of different types of sforum, and some people complain, why should people have more sforum? When can you ever learn all these sforum? Why print so many types of sforum? We have enough already, why print more? Mussazel says the reason is because you never know which sefer affects which person. As we know, the Sfarim itself, it mentions that certain great Breslov Hasidim who made history, like the Yisrael Kardunazal, one of the brightest stars of Breslov, who became a Breslov because he once found a page, a small page from the Tikkun HaKloli. And this aroused him so that he dropped everything, he changed his way of life, spent his life going to Oman, getting to Oman, from there to Eretz Yisrael, and devoted the rest of his life purely in Avodas Hashem. Those many here have met his wife, Gitala. She was called Gitala Tzadekis, Aleha Shalom, who passed away less than a year ago. Very old age, but who symbolized his greatness. She too spent her life, she passed away in the late 80s, spent her entire life, even though she was extremely ill the last many years, she would spend the days and nights going out to do Gmilas Chasadim, and always speaking, always bemoaning the fact that she has to do tshuva. And we always said to Levi, our tshuva should be her sins. We should be zechad, our mitzvah should be equal to her sins. But that's an example of one more case, and so too many other stories. Each person who received his eidus, his awakening, through a different passage. I bring this point out, not that I expect anyone to become high by just hearing this passage, but just the fact that it could happen to anyone. Any person can, with the right desire, the right will, can become actually inflamed with a burning desire to serve Hashem. Even if that flame is short-lived, there is always an impression that remains forever afterwards. Ben Azal's words, once a person tastes the precious words of the Tzadik Emes, and even at night, the candle will never become extinguished. Night means when he has a Yerida, he drops from his level, he falls back. No matter how deeply he falls, the candle will remain lit, a little, enough fire to reignite him if he ever wishes it. Now, of course, we apologize for taking this time out on a personal item, yet it's not that simply personal. One more point we must bring out, that this is something that Ben Azal foretold. Ben Azal said befedish, very clearly, that with every one of my Talmidim, in the future generations, there will be whole stories, whole biographies written about each one, or to be able to tell about each one, because they will each make history in a different form. So whoever is zeche to become the Skadiv to Rabbein Azal, that person becomes like a Sefer Torah. The chronologies, stories of the Torah itself, the battles that the Jews went through throughout history, that's generally speaking about the entire Jewish nation. Each individual Jew has these pass over him. Especially those who are zechut, become the scattered to Rabbein Azal, go through these wars and battles, either at home, or at the home means from parents, from relatives, who try to dissuade him from becoming a so-called chassid, or becoming a fanatic, becoming too religious, or sometimes even by rabbis, a person going to yeshiva. Have a rebbe who's a misnagid, who will bend every effort to draw this Talmud away from Rabbein Azal. This is the main duty, dedication, work of the Satan. The Satan, Rabbein Azal said, will abandon every person in the world and let him go free. Satan's work is to stop a person from being religious and serving Hashem. The Satan will gladly allow everyone to serve Hashem, be religious, as long as he can stop those people who are close to the Tzadik Emes from remaining there. To draw them away, that's the main work of the Satan, the main aspiration of the Satan, Achmona Litzlana. This is the main battle of a true follower in life. And therefore, Rabbein Azal said, the greatest tragedy is a chassid shenofal. A chassid who came close, and then he fell away, it's a great tragedy, because though that candle remains lit to a degree, but how sad it is what the person could have reached, could have attained, achieved in life, and what he lost out by deserting, by leaving. Hashem should help us that we should be zechut to true emunah, remain very close, emunah shlema to Rabbein Azal, and this applies to life here, especially life forever after Olam Haba. Now, Sif Kuf Samach Gimel. Abnasan Zal relates in this paragraph, again a short paragraph, but as we said, a very meaningful one. Rabbein Azal lived in the city of Zlatipoli. Zlatipoli is a small town comparatively. Rabbein Azal was there for a couple of years before moving to Breslov. Now, during the time that Menazal was there, Menazal heard this from a man who was in that city and who experienced this incident, who related it to Menazal. One day, a summer day — summer day means that the day is very long, many hours in a summer day. A summer day could be 18 hours. One summer day, Ben Azal arose early in the morning, he davened Vosikin, and then he sent his daughter, his young daughter Sarah, to call this man. The name of the man is not revealed here. Apparently it wasn't one who was that close, regular Meshamish Bekedesh of Ben Azal, one who lived in the city. Some of this man who came to Ben Azal, Ben Azal said to this man, "Come with me, let's go for a walk outside of the city limits. City limits, residential area, you will not find many woods, trees, forests, parks. Let's go outside of the city limits." It was a small town, wasn't too far to get out to the woods. They went out to the fields, and there, walking on the grass, Abinadal said to this man, "If you were only Zeche, you were privileged to be able to hear the sounds that are taking place here, the songs, the praises to Hashem, the tefillos that these blades of grass are expressing right now. Every single blade of grass is saying a tefillah, a song of praise to Hashem. And their tefillah is so pure, so selfless. There is no ulterior motive in their tefillah. They have no strange thoughts. Their thoughts do not wander. They do not seek any kind of reward in their tefillah. How wonderful it is to hear this pure song of the blades of grass and the vegetation here. How wonderful it is, too, to be able to serve Hashem among them, to add your tefillah to theirs and let your tefillah rise up together with theirs." They kept walking till they came to a small mountain. This was close to the city. And Ben Azal asked this man what this was. He said this was a sort of a cave in the mountain. And he said, "Let's go into that cave." They entered there. They went into this cave. It was sort of a cave carved out in the mountain. Entered there, they were completely invisible from the outside. It could not be seen from the outside. As soon as they came in, Ben Azal sat down on the ground, took out a sefer from his little sack he was carrying. The Sefer Sha'arei Tzion. Sha'arei Tzion is a Sefer Tfilis. It has different types of Tfilis in it, like Tikkun Chatzos, Tikkun Koros, many other types of Tfilis on various topics. Ben Azal sat on the ground and started to daven for this Sefer. With such feeling, he began to cry, and his cries increased with intensity. Ben Azal cried very much, and he kept on going from page to page, crying very intensely, without a stop, without a pause whatsoever. The man stood nearby, transfixed. He just stood marveling at this sight. He had never seen such intense crying before, such depth, so much feeling. The man stood there holding Ben Azal's coat. He waited a long time, the time became longer and longer. Finally, of course, the man could not move. He was rooted to the spot, just looking at this strange apparition. He'd never seen such a deep feelings in tefillah yet. Finally, the Ben Azal stopped crying, and he said to the man, "Walk outside and see what time it is." The man walked out and saw that the sun was about to set. It was just time to get mincha. But he was shocked. All this time from the time of Vosikin, the morning on, without stopping for anything whatsoever, no pause whatsoever for anything, no question of eating or drinking or moving from the spot, Ben Azal sat there and davened, his bitterness cried through the entire day, till sundown. Then Ben Azal said to this man to light his pipe for him. He sat there for a while, then they went outside. This single item is brought in. Obviously, Ben Azal was very, very much opposed, spoke very strongly against smoking. Lighting the pipe, naturally, refers to the same kavanah the Baal Shem Tov had. The pipe was used as a means of fulfilling the mitzvah of ketedus, the korban of ketedus, which was the most precious of all the korbanos, spices on the mizbeach. A tzaddik emes who knows how, through the pipe, can actually perform the mitzvah of ketedus. This was the time for mincha when ketedus is said. And then, when they walked out, on the way back, Abinadab said to this man, know that there is going to come a time when it will be very, very difficult to become a Talmud of mine, to become close to me. Very difficult because at that time the opposition will be great. The world will be filled with hisnagdus, with opposition, obstacles, a fierce battle against the idea of Hasidus, especially of Breslova Hasidus. That time will come in the future. Right now, Rabbi Nadal said, I am with you. I'm with you. I'm in your hands. I'm close to you. And you can, if you wish, become very great tzaddikim, even like myself. Rabbi Nadal referred, of course, to the future, not just that time. Later generations, like now, even now, when the world has sort of descended to a very low level, a nadir, a pit. Yet the fact is that even today, any person who wishes, who has the strong resolve, can overcome all the obstacles and can become really closely attached to the Rabbeinu Zal and can rise upwards. That person who is really close to the Rabbeinu Zal will find two things. For one thing, he finds that he'll never lose hope. No matter what happens, no matter how much he may sink backwards, he'll never feel dejected or rejected or abandoned, feel that he has been cut out. He knows that the rope is still tied around him. No matter what happens, no matter what he did, no matter what sins, chas v'sholom, he may have committed, he knows that he can always return, because his emunah and Rabbeinu Zal is a solid one. Secondly, it is fact that those close to Rabbeinu Zal b'emes are the ones who really know how to and do serve Hashem with the purest type of avodas Hashem. If you want to see true tzaddikim, the fact is you will see it among the breslova. And then it's so, you want to see tzaddikim who devote their lives. Who are the ones that stress davening vosikin daily? Who are the ones that stress getting up for chatzos at night? Who are the ones that stress going out to the fields every night for hespedidus? Who are the ones that stress spending the entire time purely in serving Hashem? Forgetting about the desires, the taivas of this world, material gains, material benefits, avedus Hashem, for this short period of time that a person is here during his lifetime, you'll find this mainly among the breslova. Therefore, Nosson Zal said it, who are we to dispute this? Nosson Zal said that the smallest of the breslova, that is true breslova, is greater than the greatest tzaddikim of the non-breslova. Tell this to a non-breslova and you'll be stoned. But we have implicit emunah, that Nosson Zal's words. All we can say is, since that is the truth, why we should be small breslova. Why we should be zechut to really become breslova, to become close to the Rabbeinu Zal. Nosson Zal says further, the next paragraph, that even much later on, Rabbeinu Zal came after the time he had spent in Breslov, and he came finally to the city of Uman, which was about a half year before his Astalkus. And after Rabbeinu Zal had risen to such a high madrega, a high level, which no person had ever reached previously, still, he continued to have his spedidus constantly. And remember that at that time, Rabbeinu Zal had been ill for 3 years prior to his Astalkus. This was only a half year before his Astalkus. He was very ill. He had a severe case of tuberculosis, which was fatal. But even then, as weak as Rabbeinu Zal was, one day his landlord, a close neighbor, lived close to him in the city of Uman, once entered his room suddenly, Rabbeinu Zal's room, And he found Rabbeinu Zal stretched out on the ground, Hishtatchus, as one would go Hishtatchus on the caver of a tzaddik. There, Rabbeinu Zal was lying there, completely oblivious to anything around him, completely absorbed in Tfilat Hashem, lying there and pouring out his heart to Hashem. This, Moses Zal says, continued to the last moment of his life, till he was nostalgic, lamala, lamala, the elo liyelo, above to the highest levels known to any human being, Ashrei Lo. Rabbeinu Zal spoke about this many times, about his great madrega, and of course we stress that it doesn't require repeating, yet just as a reminder, Rabbeinu Zal spoke about his aliyos, how high he had risen, how superior he was in religion, knowledge, and tzidkus, as a tzaddik emes, that was never said, chas v'shalom, as a boast. It was never said, chas v'shalom, with any gaiba, chas v'chlevi. So Rabbeinu Zal had already conquered and overcome all the evil midos. So he had reached the degree of anivus that was so great, that was characteristic of Meshe Rabbeinu's anivus, where Meshe Rabbeinu could write the Torah, v'yish Meshe onav yad mikol hodom. Meshe Rabbeinu wrote the Torah that I am the greatest onav of any person in existence, without feeling any sense of conceit because of that, any haughtiness. This was the Madrega Rabbeinu Zal, could speak about his greatness without feeling any trace of haughtiness at all. Moshe Zal says that when Rabbeinu Zal spoke about his greatness, he said, but I struggled, I worked very hard at it, I fasted very much, I devoted my life to serving Hashem and giving every ounce of strength that I had put into it. Rabbeinu Zal's motive in saying this was, for one reason only, to create an incentive for those who were listening that they too should have kinas seferim. In a sense, they should envy Rabbeinu Zal, they should want to emulate him, they should try to strive to become tzaddikim also, if not as great, but at least to become much greater than themselves. This was his main motive in speaking about his greatness. Rabbeinu Zal said that this was all due to work, to abstaining from any type of material desires, abstaining, of course, from food. Rabbeinu Zal broke the taivas achila. He ate very, very sparingly, fasted many times, ate sparingly when he did eat, and it was purely due to effort. One time, there was one person who said to Rabbeinu Zal, who could ever reach your madrega? After all, you have a very high, a holy kind of neshama. Your neshama can reach that madrega, not an ordinary person. Rabbeinu Zal was very irked at this statement, very peeved. And he said, that's your whole fault. The whole error is that you imagine that the greatness of tzaddikim is because they have very great neshamas. And neshamas are holy when it came down to earth, therefore they rise so high. The truth is that it is not so at all. Every person, no matter how low his neshama, no matter how low he is, can rise to the highest madrega, can even become exactly as great as I am. These are the Rabbeinu Zal's words, exactly as great as I am, if he tries, if he works, if he abstains from physical pleasures, and if he is sincere, if he does not stop, and if he does not lose hope in the middle, because every person must have yididus. Rabbeinu Zal himself said he had countless times that he fell back again and again, and he was drawn close to the point of giving up hope, but he held on very tightly, came back again in the face of this battle, attacked again and again until he broke through. Broke through once and a second time to a higher level. Each level he had to reach meant a new battle, a new war. But striving without pause, without stop, and putting every ounce of strength of himself into it, this is what made him succeed. Rabbeinu Zal said this is the key. The success is only the amount of work you put into it. Rabbeinu Zal also said that people think that because I am the great-grandson of Baal Shem Tov, therefore I was zechut to my madrega. Some people said that. Rabbeinu Zal was the neched, grandson of Hashem HaKadosh, therefore he was so great. The fact is that it is not so. I succeeded only through my own efforts. One item, though, I did have success. And this apparently refers to Rabbeinu Zal's surpassing the Baal Shem Tov, in that the Baal Shem Tov did not succeed getting to Eretz Yisrael. Ben Azal did succeed. This, we had the entire story. The reason behind Ben Azal's success was that he was able to lower himself to a point where he could be vilified, mocked, jeered at, and still remain strong and come back. To go down to a very low madrega of katnas, to a real deep yerido, the lowest yerido possible, to go to the highest aliyah of Eretz Yisrael. Of course, a person who goes that low many times remains that low. He falls and remains there. The point here was to go down that low and still remain that strong, you haven't really descended. This was the Ben Azal's aslocha, success in getting to Eretz Yisrael. Ben Azal stated, the Gemara says, that when a person sighs very deeply, he lets out a deep sigh from their heart. This can actually break a person down physically. He becomes very weak. His whole body becomes weakened with this sigh. Ben Azal said that this was felt by himself in his youth, because when he struggled and worked in Avodas Hashem, many times he would leave out a deep sigh, and then he would test himself, try to raise his arms. He'd find he had actual difficulty in raising his arm because his whole body was weakened, broken, because of this deep sigh. A deep sigh, of course, the Ben Azal explains in the Kutamaran, that when a person sighs, it's beneficial because a person is always attached to someone. There is a Rebbe Bekdusha, a Rebbe Beklipa, Kabnevei Esav, a Rebbe of Tuma. A person must be attached to one or the other, even if he doesn't know about it. Now this rope that attaches him, a very tight rope, when a satan, this Rebbe of Klipa of Tuma, gets hold of a person, he holds on very tightly. How does a person break away? By letting out a deep sigh that breaks the tie, and then he can quickly switch over to Kedusha. A person can actually test this. If he knows how, it's not difficult, but if it's done with deep concentration, person is beset, confronted by a test, a taiva. He has a strong desire of chas hashalom, something which is sinful, and then he can't get away from it. The Yetzirah draws him to it. He pauses for a moment, lets out a very deep sigh, that oi you hear sometimes, deep oi. He'll find that he's actually cut off that tie with the Yetzirah, with that taiva. He'll find that the taiva has actually left him to a strong enough degree to be able to overcome and win his battle. Become tied, the Chevel Dikdusha, rope of Kedusha to the Tzadik Emes. But this deep sigh, when it is sincere, breaks down a person physically. Ben Azal testified to the fact that when he was very young, he did experience this Shevedes Gufay Shalodim. Ben Azal says that the Madrega purity, of sincerity, of Tmimus, that contains in it Busha. That means a shyness. The person is very shy. It shows that there is something pure about that person. That Busha, he's shy, he's embarrassed, he's ashamed. What is he ashamed of? He's constantly ashamed before Hashem. Ashamed that he's not fulfilling his duty before his Creator. So that even when he comes to put on his tefillin, tefillin is the crown of Hashem, he's ashamed to put it on. How do I deserve touching something that is that holy, putting it on my head, putting it on my arm? This is a degree of busha, of shyness and embarrassment, that is the peak of purity. This goes together, it's coupled together with Yiras Hashem, fear, respect for Hashem. That's why we find this together in the word Bereshis. Bereshis is the words Yore, Bereshis. Yore, fear of Hashem, Bereshis, embarrassment before Hashem. One of the great tzaddikim, Nachum Schnabel Zal, who saw Rabbein Azal Medvedevke, Rabbein Azal was a child yet, was once taken aback. He was astounded when he saw the tremendous Yiras Hashem, the Shekhinah resting on Rabbein Azal's face, and he said that, he stated this fact. The Pasuk says, L'man tihiyah Yiras Hashem al panechem, l'vulti techtov. In order that the fear of Hashem should be on your face, you should not commit sins. This, he said, was seen physically, actually, in the face of Rabbein Azal. You could see the face of Rabbein Azal was so pure, you could see the fear of Hashem on his face. Just rested there constantly, and his busha, his shyness, his embarrassment before Hashem, Rabbein Azal felt Hashem in his presence. This was Rabbein Azal in his early childhood. Rabbein Azal says, furthermore, those who became attached to the Rabbeinu Zal's Talmidim later on, as Nosson Zal did when he finally became attached to the Rabbeinu Zal, the last 8 years of the Rabbeinu Zal's life, he stated also about looking at the Rabbeinu Zal, his eyes, his face, his eyes shone as the sun and the moon, especially on Shabbos Kodesh. Friday night, they would all assemble Rabbeinu Zal's home for Kiddush. His face shone with a heavenly light, and anyone who did not see the Kedusha, the fire, the flame of Kedusha that Rabbeinu Zal had on his face, his close attachment to Hashem, never really saw what Kedusha looks like. The Seder of Kiddush on Friday night, the order by the table, the Nigunim that was sung, Askinu Sudasa, Azame Bishvochen, Eishes Chayil, the other Zmidas that is sung on Friday night, Ein Elam Habo, whoever did not see that does not know what the word good means, good or beauty in a spiritual sense. Nosson Zal says whoever stood there at the table Friday night stated, would testify in all truth and all honesty that this will never again be seen till Mashiach comes. There cannot ever again arise such a holy individual physically on this earth. This is something that's purely heavenly. If, as is written, if all these seas were ink, if all the trees were quills, there could not be enough. If all people were writers, they could never describe enough the beauty of the holiness, the awesomeness that permeated the room, the sweetness, the pleasantness that people felt in the Rabbeinu Zal's presence. And all this, Nosson Zal says, was only according to each person's own conception, how much that person's mind could grasp. When actually, Rabbeinu Zal was far, far above all this, that they could see with their eyes. But that part that was hidden from them, the Kedusha, Rabbeinu Zal rose to, his mind rose to that they could not see, that was far above anyone's conception. Especially too before Kiddush, just before Kiddush, Rabbeinu Zal took the cup of Kiddush in his hand, and he would stand for a while silently. They would hear nothing at all except a very soft sound of deep desire on the part of Rabbeinu Zal. Rabbeinu Zal would rise up to a heavenly height, and then wait there a while, and he would start the Yom Hashishi, the Kiddush itself. This is a slight description of the Kedusha of Rabbeinu Zal, and this is what we aspire for. We should be Zecher, be Emes, Emunah Shleima, be Emes in Rabbeinu Zal and Tzadik Emes, to be close to Rabbeinu Zal, Elam Hazeh, Elam Habo. The source of that Emunah.